WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Morning, happy Monday to you. Welcome into a new day and a new week here on the program, and hope it's starting off well for you. Be a pretty decent day today weather-wise, and it's going to be a pretty interesting day conversation-wise, because coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we are going to be joined by New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo. We're going to talk with him about, well, we got to discuss some of the drama that went on this past week. Obviously, you know, I asked him about it last week, and we couldn't really, I was kind of saving the details for Chris McCarthy. But, you know, now we can get him a little bit more on the record on that. And he's going to give us an explanation of this longevity pay, which apparently is something that is, you know, been around for a long time. So we're going to talk about that with Council President Burgo and other things as well, coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Plus, we'll take your phone calls with him and throughout the course of the program at 508-996-0500. We can also take app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. But if you were listening to America in the Morning, you heard them mention that today is a pretty significant day in history, that we wouldn't be doing what we're doing here if not for what happened on this date on March 10th, 1876, when Alexander Graham Bell made the very first telephone call. And now we have the ability to talk to you every day, thanks to Alexander Graham Bell, although some people dispute his invention. But still, the idea is that on March 10th, 1876, Alexander Graham Bell made the first phone call to his assistant, Thomas Watson, and uttered the words, "Mr. Watson, come here. I want to see you." And this took place in Boston, Massachusetts. So we have Boston, Massachusetts as the site of the first ever telephone call. It was also the site of the first ever long-distance telephone call. See, I guess Bell just contacted Mr. Watson from another room, so it wasn't like they were far away. But the first long-distance phone call was between Boston and Cambridge. So it just shows you what long-distance was back in those days. And actually, if you remember, long-distance calling was kind of a frustrating thing, even into the 90s, because you would say, well, I live in this town, and if I call here, 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 or here, it's all local, but if I call this other town that's like 5 miles away, that's long distance. And it really didn't seem like there was any rhyme or reason to the consumer as to how they figured all that out. And you remember, you had to have your long distance carrier in addition to your regular carrier. So you would have your New England telephone for your local calls, but then you had to subscribe to a long distance carrier, MCI or Sprint or AT&T. And they all had commercials pushing themselves as the one that you should be signing up with. And then we had the era of the collect call special code number there to dial, 1010-220. Remember all those? If you dialed that before you made your call, you'd save money. All those were pretty funny, because they only lasted a few years, and then we got into the idea of cell phones. And Originally, cell phones required you to have pay per minute pricing as well. If you remember, you know, when you got your first cell phone, You were probably paying 50 cents a minute, 25 cents a minute for a phone call. You had to wait until 9 p.m. when the prices dropped. Or in some plans, you got free calling after 9 p.m. because you had to worry about peak hours. And God forbid anybody sent you a text message when those first rolled out, because that would cost you 25 cents just to receive one. I remember telling people, stop texting me. It costs me money. I had a friend that would send me like 5 or 6 texts a day. I'd be like, I'm going to send you a bill. But now, of course, it's all kind of rolled in. Now it's all unlimited. And I'm sure out of all of the things that people have on their cell phone plan, the voice calling is the thing that gets used the least. But thanks, Alexander Graham Bell. We can take your calls at 508-996-0500. So again, that's, you know, people know that trivia about the first ever phone call. But do you know about the first ever presidential phone call and where that took place? It actually happened over a year after the first telephone call was made. So it took a year, over a year, for a president to actually use the telephone. And it happened locally. It was at Rocky Point in Warwick. President Rutherford B. Hayes spoke with Alexander Graham Bell, who was 13 miles away in Providence. Now, Hayes had been elected the year before in 1876. And that was a very controversial election with claims of electoral fraud. That was only settled through a compromise that awarded Hayes one more electoral vote than his challenger, Samuel Tilden, who had won the popular vote. But many people thought that Hayes' election was illegitimate, and they referred to him by the nickname Rutherfraud. There was also an ongoing crisis at the U.S.-Mexican border. Doesn't all this sound familiar? So after a tumultuous first few months in office, Hayes visited Rocky Point for a clam bake and to address a gathering of Civil War veterans. It was there where he received a phone call from Bell, the very first time a president used a phone call, although they had installed a telephone in the White House about a month before, in the White House telegraph room. But Hayes had never used it. And what phone number do you think they gave the White House phone? 1. If you just picked up the phone and dialed 1, you got the White House. Well, I mean, it was a little bit different back then. They had to connect you to the number 1, but still. Very interesting that we have, you know, 2 significant firsts that happened not that far from where we are sitting right now. So again, because of Alexander Graham Bell, you can give us a call, 508-996-0500. I remember when my son was in, I don't know, second grade or third grade, I forget which one, he did a school play where they all played different inventors or different significant historical figures in America, and he was Alexander Graham Bell. And he dressed up as him, and he gave a little speech, and the first line of his speech was, "Mr. Watson, come here, I want to see you." And somewhere we have the video of that. But thank you, Alexander Graham Bell, for making my life easier and making it so that people can call in so I don't have to just talk for 3 hours every day. Between you and Mr. Marconi, I owe you a lot. So I hope that you had a good weekend. Mine was pretty relaxed. I didn't really do much. Saturday. What did I do Saturday? I think I stayed home. Yeah, I did. I stayed home the whole day. Yesterday, I had to just run out and get a couple of things at the store, but basically just relaxed. Watched a few movies, caught up on some TV, did some work yesterday. But I also got the chance to watch the first episode of Celtics City. If you have Max, you know, the HBO on-demand, streaming service, there's a new series that has debuted. I guess it runs on HBO too, the show. It's called Celtic City. And it was created by, the former Boston sports guy, that's what he used to be known as, Bill Simmons, who now runs The Ringer. .com, which is a great website for all things sports and pop culture. I read it a couple times a week. And as part of this agreement that he has with HBO, he's been producing a number of documentaries. He had a great one on Andre the Giant. He has a music series that's fantastic as well. But kind of like his passion project has been this miniseries on the history of the Celtics. And I've watched every documentary about the Celtics there is. And so I said, well, how is this going to be different? And, you know, I watched that first episode, which focuses on, you know, the episode's called The Founding Fathers. It focuses on, to some degree, Walter Brown, but mostly Red Auerbach, Bob Cousy, Bill Russell, the guys that laid the foundation for the Celtics dynasty. And it was fantastic. There was stuff in there that I had never heard before. It was great to see, you know, some of these old interviews with people like Tommy Heinsohn and Russ that I hadn't seen in a long time. But then there's also, you know, new stuff with Kuz and Satch, and it was definitely, definitely worth the watch. And, you know, as they get deeper into the Celtics history, you'll see things that aren't normally covered, because Bill Simmons is not the kind of guy that's going to gloss over things. So they're going to dig into some of the behind-the-scenes stuff that doesn't usually get covered in these nostalgia pieces that just talk about the greatness of the Celtics. And this is also about the relationship of Boston to the Celtics. But as I was watching it, I was just thinking about how fortunate I was to get the chance to cover that team for 10 years. You know, my favorite team growing up. I remember every night watching the Celtics, even when they weren't very good. You know, when their best player was Dino Raja, D. Brown. But watching those games, especially when I moved across the street from my best friend, and we would just, you know, every night after we finished our homework, we'd hang out, usually at his house, usually in his room watching the Celtics. And if we weren't watching the Celtics, we were playing NBA Jam or NBA Live or something, or we were outside in the driveway pretending we were the Celtics. And so when I got the chance to cover them, it was mind-blowing to have that opportunity. I still remember the first game I ever covered. It was in December of 2001, and I had no idea what I was doing because I didn't have anybody to shadow, just trying to figure it out on my own, and could not believe that I was there. I had already had the chance to cover the Patriots for a couple of months. And thankfully I had the great Dan Pyers kind of leading me through all of that, so I knew how to be in a professional sports locker room. But I was still very, you know, wide-eyed. I remember walking up to Antoine Walker and shaking his hand and introducing myself. But it all started because I'd be at the newspaper on, you know, Tuesday and Friday nights taking the high school sports calls. And I would insist on having them put the TV that hung over the sports desks on Celtics games. And I'll never forget, Dave Cuddy, who was the sports editor then, said to me, "You like the Celtics?" I said, "I do. I love the Celtics. You want to cover a game?" "What? Yes, please." And that led to me becoming the Celtics writer for 10 years and being there when they won the championship in 08, being in the locker room, getting doused with champagne and beer and having a red Gatorade dumped down my back by Big Baby Davis. It was quite a run for me because I was there when they were terrible. Actually, I got there when they started to get back into the playoffs, and then they were terrible. And then to be there when they came back into being a championship team. And then I wrapped up my time there right around the time that they traded away Pierce and Garnett, a little bit before that. So I have the chance to talk to some of these guys, these legends, Red Auerbach, Tommy Heinsohn, Bill Russell. I had the chance to actually have conversations with them. I was writing a story one time about Ricky Davis being in the running for Sixth Man of the Year. I got to talk to Frank Ramsey on the phone. I just called the bank where he worked, and they put me on the phone with him. It was just a magical thing. And so, you know, you kind of get to see in this docuseries exactly who these people are, more than just the legends, the people behind them. And you get to hear that Bill Russell cackle again, which is my favorite laugh in the world. Can't help but smile every time I hear it. And when you consider what went on this weekend with the Bruins, when you consider how upset people are with the Patriots, when you consider how cautiously optimistic people are being about the Red Sox, the Celtics are still in the championship mix this year at a time when we get a chance to look back as well. So, good time to be a Celtics fan, if not a fan of the rest of the teams. All right, I've got to take a break here. We will be back in just a few moments. And welcome back in. We're going to be taking your calls coming up, 508-996-0500. But we're going to be going into the newsroom with Mike Roberts in just a moment. And, so Mike Roberts is going to be our new morning newsman. Phil Devitt has had another job for quite a while. And we've been making him get up early every day and do the news for us. But he's actually been working on the Mel Robbins podcast for quite a while now. Say probably about 6 months or so, and producing that podcast while also still doing the news for us. And we thank him for doing so much more than, you know, was necessary, but he didn't want to leave us in the lurch, and we loved hearing him do the news, but we wanted to find a way to make his life a little bit easier. And so now Mike Roberts is taking over. You hear him sometimes on Fun 107. You hear his voice here on WBSM from time to time. And now he's going to be our new regular newsman. So it'll be great to now turn things over to Mike Roberts in the WBSM newsroom.
Suspects involved in a shooting in Boston apprehended in Fall River. Rape charges in Rochester and lottery jackpots are on the rise.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Fall River Police arrested two men in connection with a stabbing on Friday. Officers responded to a Raymond Street housing development for reports of a male victim suffering from a stab wound to the chest after an altercation. 48-year-old Barry Cabral was arrested and charged with assault and battery with a serious bodily injury. He was held on $50,000 bail. 31-year-old Eric Getchell, also arrested on a charge of accessory after the fact, as well as multiple outstanding warrants. Rochester police made an arrest on Thursday night in connection with multiple counts of rape and kidnapping. According to police, Nicholas Carnaza was arrested on 3 counts of aggravated rape and 1 count each of kidnapping. Indecent assault and battery on a person 14 or over, and intimidation of a witness. The Freetown Fire Department responded to a large barn fire on Locust Street yesterday. Windy conditions made fighting the fire more difficult, and water tankers and mutual aid was called in from departments in Berkeley, Lakeville, Dartmouth, Rochester, Westport, and Dighton. All of the large animals escaped the barn, but many rabbits, ducks, and chickens died as a result of that fire. The Massachusetts Department of Transportation will be replacing lights at exit 11 on the western side of the Fall River Expressway to 195 eastbound. The work will start on Wednesday from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. The exit 11 off-ramp to I-195 eastbound will be closed during that time. The Department of Homeland Security has started giving polygraph tests to its workers in the hopes of finding information leaks. Scott Carr has more from Washington.
DHS Secretary Kristi Noem and President Trump's border czar Tom Homan have recently blamed lower-than-expected immigration arrest numbers on recent leaks to the media about planned ICE operations revealing which cities were being targeted. Secretary Noem said in a social media post Friday two leakers of information had already been discovered within the department and that there's plans to prosecute the pair. I'm Scott Carr in Washington.
This weekend marked the 60th anniversary of Bloody Sunday. Tammy Trujillo reports.
Thousands gathered in Selma, Alabama for the annual walk across the Edmund Pettus Bridge to commemorate and recreate the 1965 Civil Rights March from Selma to Montgomery, Alabama.
Marches like this have to continue to get on because we can't cure racism, we can't cure prejudice if we don't uncover the problem.
That's Jeremy Pons from the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. 60 years ago, civil rights demonstrators were attacked by police in a clash that shocked the nation and galvanized support for the Voting Rights Act of 1965. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries led a bipartisan congressional delegation of about 40 lawmakers during Sunday's ceremonies. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
The jackpots in the nation's two most popular lotteries are soaring. No grand prize winner in Saturday night's Powerball drawing, pushing that jackpot up to $335 million ahead of the next drawing tonight. And no one had any luck with the grand prize on Mega Millions either on Friday. That jackpot jumps to $256 million. Next chance to strike it rich with that one is tomorrow.
WBSM Sports.
Celtics take on the Jazz at home tonight at 7:30. Bruins have the night off. They're taking on the Panthers tomorrow.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
You've got sunshine today, 58. Clear tonight, 30. A few clouds tomorrow, 56. And Wednesday, partly sunny, 48. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app.
Back in 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. If you have that downloaded, if you haven't already, well, head on over to your app store and download it. And thank goodness that we have that WBSM app because it allows you access to all of our great content, whether it be our stories, our podcasts, our live stream of our audio, or you just want to be able to find out what the weather or the traffic are. You can do that as well. I got a message from somebody last week. By the way, the WBSM app is brought to you by South Coast Towing. But I got a message from somebody last week who said, Tim, I don't know why you keep telling me I can get my traffic and weather on my app. It's not giving it to me. Well, if that's the case, you have to enable the location services on the app. So basically all these new phones, they try to protect you from giving away information as much as possible. So you have to turn on permissions for all these apps. And with the WBSM app, you have to turn on the permission for the location to get you the traffic or the weather. And then once you do that, you'll be able to get those. How do I know that? Because I just got a phone and I had to do that on my phone. So that's the way to do it. Also, we were talking about those 1010 numbers. Participation Trophy Wife says, my grandparents were addicted to the 1010 numbers. It was a hobby how cheap they could get phone calls per minute to Europe or Asia. And I still remember some of the commercials. And they used to bring in like Hollywood stars to promote them. Or I know Alf was doing one for a while. But then they also had like the ones where people would call collect, like for 1-800-COLLECT. And they had that, Bob, we had a baby pizza boy. And I was like, you know, I used to do that same thing when I lived in the campground when I was first, you know, homeless. But I had all my friends call me on the payphone that was right near our campsite because it could receive incoming calls. But how did they know when I was there waiting for their phone call? Well, what I would do is I would call their house collect. And I would say on the recorded message when it's like, please leave your name. And I would record my name as, it's Tim. Tell them just to call me. Tell Pat to call me or tell Moore to call me. Tell whoever. And so I would do that. And then most of the time, you know, everybody knew and they would just tell their kid, hey, Tim just called. You got to call him back at the campground. Except Mr. McCurtain, my English teacher and kind of my second dad when I was in high school, he would always accept the charges. And I would always tell him, Bill, don't accept the charges. Like, no, you're supposed to hang up on me and tell Pat to call me back. Because it was a local call for them to just call the campground. Don't take, but he would do the collect call thing every time. Anyway, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How are you?
I am great. I figured I'd call you extra early today.
You are early.
I am, yeah. Well, you know, some days I want to call in this early, but I like to listen to everybody. But I said, I got to call you now. You are cracking me up. I don't know anything about this, and I use payphones a lot. I don't even know anything about this.
So
what?
This was an attempt in the 90s to try to, help people save money. And so they had, you could either make collect calls cheaper or you could get cheaper rates when you were making calls, depending on, you know, what code you were using. So they had all these commercials on TV promoting each one. And then I don't know if you remember, too, they used to have those calling cards where it would be like a card you could use and it had a certain amount of money on it that you could use to make phone calls.
My first cell phone was with AT&T, and it was like you got 500 minutes a month. And I would run over my minutes, and then I'd be like, oh, I got to go buy a cord. Mm-hmm. But on the payphone, you said you could call people and tell, that is like blowing my mind.
So when you would make a collect call, it would ask you to record your name so that it would play back. You have a collect call from, it's Tim. And then they would choose whether or not to. So what I would do is I would use that recording to say, it's Tim. Tell Pat to call me at the campground.
Oh, okay. Now I get it. Wait, okay. All right. I get it.
And it worked out pretty well, except for, you know, when Mr. McCurtain would accept the charges. And then I'm like, no, don't do that.
That is really funny. Okay, I get it. Yeah, because I was confused. I'm like, wait a minute. How can you tell everybody? Right. I remember that now. You know, when I lived in Wareham and I told you across from Bell's, they had a payphone out front.
Oh, yeah. I used it many, many times.
I used it all the time. Instead of using my cell phone, because it was 500 minutes only back then, I would call my husband. And it was, of course, collect. But then we both realized, you know, maybe it is cheaper to just go ahead and use my minutes and just refill the phone, you know, with another card and stuff. But yeah, that was probably the last time I ever used a payphone. No, you know what? It wasn't. The last time I ever used a payphone was at Savers, this grocery store that's now Vincente's.
Mm-hmm.
They had a payphone there. That was the last time I ever used a payphone.
I mean, I used to use the one outside of Vell's because when we lived in the Galt Road apartments, you know, it was seven people in a small apartment, and I wanted privacy when I was calling my girlfriend, so I'd walk over there and use the payphone.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. And you know what, Tim? Well, I'm sure you know, that payphone was never busy. Nobody was ever using it.
No, no. And there was one, and if that one was busy, there was one over on the side of Cumberland Farms, too.
So, hey, I meant to ask you last week, how did the reading go with the children?
Oh,
what is that stinky, creepy draw underwear? Creepy underwear. What is that about?
So it's a book series by Aaron Reynolds is the name of the author, but it's a book series he came out with. Creepy Carrot was the first one, then Creepy Pair of Underwear, and then Creepy Crayon. So it's about a rabbit who, you know, he's freaked out and scared by like these mundane things, and then it's like teaching you that you don't need to be scared of them.
Yeah, because I was like, creepy underwear. I thought that was a weird thing that you would be reading, but. I figured
that would make the kids laugh, and that was the recommendation by Kristen here, who has kids that age. So, but basically, what it's all about is the kid gets a pair of underwear that glow in the dark, and it scares him. So he learns not to be afraid of his glow in the dark underwear.
Oh, that is so funny. Well, yeah, I meant to ask you, and you enjoyed yourself?
Oh yeah, it was a great time.
You did all good.
And then the kids at the end of it, they all. They got up and performed a little dance routine for me that they did to the Ghostbusters song.
Oh, did you record it?
I did, but I didn't put it up on social media because it's, you know, other people's kids. I didn't have permission, so.
Oh, no, right. You definitely need permission for all that. And I will take a picture and send it to you, email of my man on the Old Man Mountain potato. And I wanted to ask you, so when you have Mr. Burgo in, if I have a question, can I call back?
Sure.
Okay, great. Because I might, and I might not. Hopefully, you know, I won't need to. So I wanted to know, how did it go at Stevie's?
Oh, it was good. I learned a lot. I didn't, you know, I didn't think I was going to make it over there necessarily because I had a busy day, but I got over there right at the beginning and I was able to learn quite a bit about Scotch, the different regions of and the different flavor profiles for the different regions. So now I want to go to Scotland. I mean, I did anyway. But.
I do too. I really want to go to Scotland. Wicked bad. I don't know why. It's been one of my biggest dreams, Australia and Scotland.
Well, I'm trying to work with this company who does these tours with folks in the paranormal where they go to like different haunted locations and different like places of legend. And so I've been trying to get her to bring me on board with some of her tours for a couple of years. And they're like, well, where do you want to go? I was like, well, Scotland and Ireland. And, you know, then we'll just see where it goes from there. So hopefully maybe we can put something together.
Well, with all the old land and the old castles and even homes outside, you know, from all the, wars and civil unrest, there's probably a lot of paranormal there.
But, I mean, I want to learn the history and experience the culture just as much as I want to, you know, look for ghosts, too.
Yeah, me too. I if I went, obviously, I wouldn't go looking for ghosts. I just definitely would go for the whole culture. It's one of my biggest dreams. Hopefully one day, but I hope you can do that. You're young enough.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll work it out at some point.
So Phil Devitt, I kind of knew he was already gone anyways. He's such a busy man. So now, like, this newscast, is he intern? Will he be here?
Mike Roberts has been working with us behind the scenes for a long time. He produces Town Square Sunday every week, and he'll be the person that runs stuff over at Fun 107 when they're out at restaurants and stuff. So yeah, he's been around here for a long time.
Okay, so he's a keeper.
Mm-hmm.
Good, because you know you get attached to a voice, you get attached to a person, and it's like But I know Phil was really busy and stuff, and I'm so happy for him. You know, it's sad for us because we love that voice. But you know what? It's great because he's moving on and he's doing what he needs to do in his life.
I'll tell you, if you miss his voice, you can always listen to Fun 107 in the morning because he does the news for them still.
He's still doing the news for them.
That's less. That takes a lot less work. So.
And he doesn't have to go in studio. He can do it from.
I don't know where he's doing it from, but I know that he's still doing it for them. So. You know, you can hear him over there.
Listen to Fun 107. I won't be able to hear you.
You can go back and listen to the podcasts.
Right.
Podcast. I think they have the news in their podcasts over there. I'm not totally sure. I'll have to ask Michael Ruck.
Yeah. No, that's okay. I'm more than happy to listen to what's his name?
Mike Roberts.
Mike Roberts. I'm more than happy to listen to Mike Roberts' voice.
And I think you'll enjoy it.
Yeah. I guess that's about it, Tom.
All right. You have a good day.
Okay. You too.
Take it easy.
Okay. Bye.
And I just want to clarify one thing too. So, yeah, I mean, generally we do have a one phone call per show rule, but that rule doesn't apply if there's a guest. You know, if there's a guest and you have a question for the guest, but you've already called in, I don't hold you to that. I don't say, well, you already called in. I think questions for the guest should always be, you know, an available thing. That's why we have them on. All right, I've got to take a break here. We will be right back. And how did you sleep last night? I hope you slept pretty well. It is actually National Sleep Awareness Week this week. So it started on Sunday and it runs all the way through the 15th. It is a week designed to urge Americans to prioritize quality sleep for better health and well-being. And it's been going on since 1988. So, I mean, we can look into some sleep talk by the end of this week. We can have some discussion about sleep suggestions. But I can tell you the best thing you can do to help with sleep is make sure that you are getting the most fitful sleep possible. You might have to undergo a sleep study. But now, you know, you've got all these smart watches and things like that. Sleep with that on for a couple of nights and see what it registers for your sleep. But some of the key things I've learned over the years is you got to be comfortable in your bed. So the more comfortable your mattress is, the more it fits what you like, the better off you'll be. You have to have good quality pillows. You know, when your pillows start to lose their shape and sink in a little bit, that's not very helpful for you. And also, make sure that you get enough sleep. As someone who didn't for so many years, I've learned the difference between, and for me, it was only a matter of adding an hour or so a night. You know, I used to only sleep 4 hours a night. If I sleep five and a half, six, I'm good. I don't need 8 or 10 or 12, but sometimes I sleep that much on the weekends to get caught up. Did that the other day. But sleep is not something you can mess around with. It is the foundation of any good health going forward. So be aware that it is National Sleep Awareness Week. And we can talk more about that throughout the course of the week. Right now, though, I've got to take one final break before the end of the hour. We will be right back. All right, we're going to be taking a break for the news. When we come back on the other side, more with you, 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We'll have New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo with us in the 8 o'clock hour for his regular weekly appearance. He's going to talk with us more about